listening to Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment. No excuses.
Got Paranormal. Is a talk show based on the integration of shared ideas coming from multiple perspectives within a round table format. Designed to examine assumptions and to expand awareness. Join S.E. Burns and her co-host as they make sure you have got paranormal.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Tonight's guest is paranormal talk show host and author Jim Harold. Joining me tonight is one of my co-hosts, Robert J. Bradbury of the Gut and Bone Show, and our professor, Earl Shandemeyer, unfortunately cannot be with us tonight. As usual, if you have any questions, Gut Wrench will be monitoring the chat room, and he'll do his best to include you. Welcome, Jim Harold.
Well, thank you so much for asking me to be a part of the program tonight. I'm thrilled to be here and ready to talk some paranormal.
And we're ready to pick your brain.
Okay. Well, I'm here. Pick away.
Like it's never been picked before, I hope.
Well, very good.
Okay. Now we'll be good. All right, Jim, I'm going to start off. I'm curious about the details of, you have 4 shows, correct, that you produce?
Well, actually, I have 5 and a 6th that's kind of hopefully restarting here soon. I have on the free side, I have Jim Harold's Campfire, which is the subject of my book of the same name. I have a show called Weird News Radio, which is a little bit different, not quite paranormal, but kind of news of the strange and the humorous. That's really a departure for me. I have the Paranormal Podcast, which was my first show I ever did and still my most popular. And then also the Paranormal Report, which I was doing with a co-host. He decided to step away a couple of months back, so we're in the process of trying to get that relaunched. And then those are all my free shows. Then I have a whole other Plus Club with 4 other podcast shows. So I guess, my goodness, I actually do 8 different series. That's quite a bit.
It is. I do a couple more shows besides this one. I don't understand how you... Is this all you do, or do you work another job?
No. I have a full-time job, but hopefully this is turning around in such a way that I think this is going to be my full-time job real soon, like, and it better be, or else I'll collapse.
Do you have your own Energizer Bunny?
I don't know. It's just, I think it's because I love it. I mean, and we'll probably talk about this in a little bit, but I got to tell you, I've been interested in this stuff way before all the ghost hunting shows and stuff. I mean, going back to a little kid with things like In Search Of and, you know, in later years and teen years, Unsolved Mysteries. So this has fascinated my whole life. So I think that's, and plus I love broadcasting and podcasting and writing. So I think it's all those combined things kind of spur me on.
Well, when you were a little kid, did you find yourself kind of looking for ghosts or aliens or UFOs?
Maybe a little bit. I was just fascinated by reading this stuff. And I've always felt, and I still feel, that there's more to life than meets the eye. And my personal motto is keep an open mind, but not so open your brains fall out. And I just have
Which
all
is hard because you can get sucked up into some of this, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's no question. And sometimes, you know, I think, wow, that's out there. But who am I to say? The truth is, at least for me, I believe none of us know what's going on. We may have ideas. We may have theories. I just think it's apparent to me that there's something going on. And boy, you know, when I first started 7 years ago, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but almost 7 years ago, started podcasting. The reason I did it was because I had always had love for broadcasting and went to school for it. Ended up working in the field, but behind the scenes, not in front of a mic. And I thought, what am I going to podcast on? It's got to be something I'm really interested in. And I said, you know what? Where do I go when I go in a bookstore or library? Where's the first section I go to? It's always the paranormal section. I'm always fascinated. TV program, always flipping around looking for a paranormal show.
Well, wait, I forget. 7 years ago, were they on TV?
You know, there were still some paranormal shows, but it was nothing like it was now. Okay. So that's the funny thing. People, well, I'm getting off on tangent, but people say, well, gee, you were really smart to pick up on that fad. And it's like, 2005, it wasn't the fad that it is today. It had nothing to do with that. It had the fact that, you know, what inspired me when I was a little kid, 8 years old, I watched In Search Of. You know, and
I don't, what, this is crazy. I don't know what that is. And probably the same age. So.
I watched it.
Yeah. Leonard Nimoy.
I thought it was Leonard Nimoy.
What?
Leonard Nimoy, yeah. And nevertheless, it was like a weekly show, and they would pick a topic, and it would be like, this week we're going to talk about Bigfoot, In Search Of Bigfoot. And they would do a thing about the Patterson book.
I think I was busy watching Scooby-Doo or something.
I like Scooby-Doo, too.
That was paranormal.
And there's actually, if you think about it.
They were ghost hunters.
Scooby-Doo has a paranormal theme.
Oh, well, that's why I said that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I've always been fascinated by the mysteries of the universe since I was a child. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us forget about many of the things that popped up. You know, if you think about when The Exorcist came out. You know, I think most of us just turned our back on it because for whatever reason, family pressure, religion, whatever, you know, it was there. And obviously it was somewhat popular if somebody went to that extent to broadcast it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, when the movie came out, the motion picture came out, I was probably 4 years old or something. But in later years, it was like, oh, you shouldn't watch it. And I got to say, to this day, that is one of the most frightening movies ever made. And you think about it, the gore level of that is so much less than a lot of the stuff like Saw and things that are out there.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
But there was just something inherently freaky about that movie. But what I was going to say earlier, just to finish up my thought, is that when I started this, I thought 7 years ago, this is going to be great. I'm going to interview all these people. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get Brad Steiger on the show and Stanton Friedman for UFOs. And I'll get all these people. And since then, I've had all these.
And you did.
I did. But the thing I thought was, well, I'll do this for a year because by then I will have interviewed all these experts and I'll have this whole thing figured out. Ha!
Yeah, that's the key. Okay, keep going. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I have more questions 7 years later than when I started.
But are you getting, I've got to be honest with you, I'm getting a little tired of it because I'm not getting any. I want to say I have an open mind as well. As you know, this is an open-minded dialogue, this show. I don't get any concrete answers with anything. I've had a psychic on my show that amazed me because before the show, he was telling me things about my life. I didn't ask him for a reading. I never asked for readings. He just, I guess, wanted to prove to me that he was real, I guess, if I can use that word.
Right.
Yeah, so that was probably one of the most profound interviews I've ever done because he was spot on with things that were going on in my life. But I still can't say, oh, I believe in that. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but here's what I would say. There's not a week that goes by that I don't, and I talk to quite a few people every week about the paranormal and do shows like you do a show. And every time I talk to somebody, almost universally, I pick something new up. For example, just now tonight for one of my Plus Club podcasts before we did this. Now, for me, some people, when they talk about the paranormal, they mean psychics and ghosts. And then some people have a broader interpretation.
Yeah, I do all areas of the paranormal.
Yeah, that's the way I am. When I say paranormal, it's everything from Bigfoot to UFOs to ghosts. I kind of lump it all together.
Yeah.
For example, I had a guy, a very popular Kindle author, he does a lot of books on Kindle, very popular. His name's Chet Dembeck. And he said, you know, one of his theories, or one of the things he thinks is possible, is that aliens, if you think about the way that the Europeans visited America, they didn't come the first time they come, they didn't invade. They sent scouts. You know, Columbus was essentially, you know, he discovered America, and then they sent scouts to check it out. And then 100, 200, 300 years later, then they invaded and savaged the Native Americans. So his theory is, and this is really frightening,
it's Stephen Hawking's theory, really. But
absolutely, it is Stephen Hawking's theory that these first waves of sightings and so forth are probes. And since it takes so much technology to get from here to there, you know, at first they're not going to bring massive armies because maybe they're not capable now. But maybe 50 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, maybe 100 years from now, they'll be capable of that. And we know that any time a technologically superior society meets a technologically inferior society, it doesn't work out well for the ones that are technologically inferior. And if people, or if E.T. is traveling from the stars, he's going to be technologically, or it is going to be technologically superior to us. So that's don't end up in the good side of the equation.
That's something that I've always questioned, not always. You know, I think in the beginning of my paranormal interest, I too succumbed to the fact that they must be superior to us. I wonder, maybe we are thinking in the wrong direction. How do we know? How do we not know that they're not thinking we are the ones that are superior? Maybe they just happen to have only a space machine that can travel through time or through dimensions or whatever. That's all they got. And they're looking at us as the supreme beings.
Why do you say that? Did you have someone on your show that had that theory?
I just, every person that speaks about the paranormal in the ufology department goes to that direction, every single one. And then we come to this conclusion that there are no conclusions. So why are we sticking to that train of thought?
Well, in that line, I mean, that's one theory. Who says that they're, if they are, are they a they? Is it, you know, some kind of spirit? You know, I've even had people on my shows who say that they're, and I don't buy into this, but say that they're demons. Mm. Or other people who say, I had a gentleman a couple times on my paranormal podcast program, Nigel Kerner, who believes that aliens are essentially here to extract our souls.
Whitley Strieber.
And then I've had people who say that they're interdimensional travelers or something along those lines. So, again, my feeling is, the truth is, none of us know. I can understand your frustration, but personally, I find that interesting in a way, because every time I think I've got something figured out, I learn something new.
So is that the way you want it? Do you want it to remain a mystery?
No, I'd love to know.
So what are you going to do when you do know?
I don't think I ever will.
Well, let's just suppose something's cracked. Let's just say some priest comes out that he's a pope and he says, look, I've known the secret. We have interdimensional control of UFOs, big feats, and all of this stuff. It's all controlled by us in our little golden box here in the Vatican.
Well, the thing is, I believe through the history of mankind, there have always been mysteries. And I think there always will be mysteries. Yes. And I don't think we'll ever have it figured out. Now, that's a question. If it did, would I just pack up and stop? I don't know the answer to that. I've never thought about that because I don't think now we may get partial answers.
Those are better.
But I don't know if we'll always get the whole answer. And then sometimes, and I hate to say this, and I don't believe this, but sometimes I question myself and said, have we all just made this all up in our minds?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you either.
Well,
you
have you ever had your own paranormal experience, Jim?
Oh, yes. And things that I've never had a ghost walk up and say hello to me. Okay. But what I have had, and actually a couple of them in my book, and Jim Harrell.
Oh, let's mention the book.
Yes, Jim Harrell's Campfire, True Ghost Stories. It came out last fall, and it's about 70 or 72 true ghost stories in the words of my folks who call in and tell their stories. And there's a few stories there of my own. And there are a couple that happened to me that were just weird coincidences. I'll give you an example. I had, as a teenager, I had visited down where my family was from down south, and found out that there was this young lady who saw me around town and said, well, I'd like to meet him. And I thought, hey, you know, that's few and far between. I better take that invitation. So got to meet her, and we were just walking around this small town. And anyway, there was like this log truck. I don't know if you guys have seen these huge log trucks. And with basically trees, like full-size trees, lumber, with chains. And so picture a tractor trailer about, I don't know, 30 feet long that has huge trees on it that have the tops cut off, being prepared to go to a sawmill of some type. Anyway, we're walking past one of those, and something tells me, Jim, get away from this. get away from this truck.
What do you mean something tells you? What was
I don't know. I had a sense. I had no, nothing audible, but something, a sense. Get away from this truck. Get away from this truck.
Like a premonition.
Yeah, I guess so. So anyway, I was walking.
Maybe it was intuition, though.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I'm not saying what it was. I'm just saying it was.
No, I was talking to Robbie, not you.
Oh, sorry. You know, okay. That's a problem. When you do a show, you tend to want to, I talk too much. But anyway, but anyway, when you split, we split. One went to the left.
And
one
I
went
interrupt
to the
left. Too much. So
that's okay. We'll that's okay. You're the host. You guys are the host, so it's your show. But anyway, so we split and went one to the right, one to the left. We passed it, and then I thought, you were just imagining things. I tell you, it wasn't 20 feet that we got past that truck. And all of a sudden, every log on it fell off on the side. Wow. I was walking.
Yeah.
And
that's bizarre.
And it would have killed me. It would have, mm-hmm. at the least, it would have put my life in danger, and it probably would have killed me because you imagine maybe, I don't know how many, 10 large trees fall on you. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, one would have been enough.
Yeah, one would have been enough. So part of me is like, coincidence, I was just lucky? Or part of me, now here's a more scientific explanation, perhaps. Maybe something, some sense, whether it was my hearing or visual cue, was very subtle that something was breaking. And I didn't pick up on what I had spotted, but that something was wrong. Maybe it was something as simple as that. Maybe there was nothing paranormal about it at all. But I've always considered it almost like a guardian angel situation. Something mm-hmm. or someone was trying to communicate to me, get away from there.
Mm-hmm. Are you a religious person?
I grew up in the Christian faith. And I must say, I mean, I'm still the Christian faith. I don't think I'm probably, you know, I'm probably not your greatest churchgoer. And I probably, a lot of people of that faith would have a lot of problems with the shows I do.
Or feel yeah, like your family. Blasphemy. Does your family have any
Not
issues?
At all.
Okay.
Not at all. But the thing is that I still maintain the major tenets of that faith, but I also believe that ghosts are possible. I also believe that there's things we don't understand. I also believe that there are probably things that we've been taught about that religion that probably aren't exactly the way they were meant to be. So sure. in somebody's book, I'm probably not a very good Christian, but I would still identify myself with a Christian faith. But I'm very open-minded. I mean, I do shows on reincarnation. Because my criteria for doing a show with someone is not whether I personally buy the theory. Is it something that's fairly, seems like it would be interesting to the audience? Is it interesting to me? And is it somewhat plausible?
But you're talking about which show, the Paranormal Podcast or the Campfire Show?
All of them.
All of them in a sense. I mean, Campfire is basically uncensored. Somebody writes me, they can go to my website, jimharold.com. That's H-A-R-O-L-D, by the way. jimharold.com. You sign up for Campfire sign up. Now, Robbie, you've been on the Campfire before, correct?
I have, yes.
And anyhow,
and you've been on Robbie's show, the Gut yes. Moon show, right?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I was very, very happy to be on it.
Yes, we have. It's like a huge family, you know? We're huge.
That's right. It's true. By the way, that is true. It is interesting how when you meet somebody, it's like, well, we've never gotten to talk, but you know so-and-so, and you know so-and-so.
Yeah.
And but the funny thing is that, you know, as far as Campfire goes, I just want to hear people's experiences. And you never know where the best stories are going to come from. In Paranormal Podcast, I mean, it's mainly authors and those kind of people. And that particular show, you know, I just want to know that somebody's done their research and they have some background for their theory. And,
yeah.
and then let them have
you basically
their theory.
Do what I do, it sounds like. Because I don't, you're one of the only hosts I really have on my show. I've had
right.
any, yeah. I mean, I'll talk about one of my next topics, I think, is going to be numerology. I mean, it's all over the board. UFOs,
right.
yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Because I actually had a numerologist on the show three, four years ago. So I really, you know, again, I want somebody to think, they could come to the Paranormal Podcast and you know, every week's going to be different. One week it might be cryptozoology. Next week it might be UFOs. You know, I even do, twice a year I do an astrology show with Maria DeSimone. I've been doing that for years.
Which
so,
area is your favorite? Do you have one?
You know, I don't know if Eric, because I love the UFO subject, but if somebody had to, and this might go back to the religious thing, if somebody had to say, what is the one thing, if somebody, kind of your point, Robbie, if somebody came to me and said, there's this one thing, and I can tell you the absolute straight truth on it, so you know what it is. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask a question. What would it be for you guys? And I'll tell you mine. One thing, it could be any paranormal topic. This one area will tell you, you can have all the knowledge about what's going on with it. What would it be?
It would have to be ufology for me.
Okay. And Robbie?
Are you saying which subject would have the answer?
Which area of the paranormal are you most fascinated with?
Religion.
Well, religion. Okay. Well, if there's one area where I could have the answer, it'd be what happens to us when we die. Mm-hmm. Because absolutely universal. Absolutely universal. And it, to me, it would answer so many other questions. So if somebody said, I've got this card here, and I can put the answer to any question you want on it, I would put what happens to us after we die. Because if you knew that, I think it would change the way you live your life.
Well, what do you think happens?
I think we go on in some form or fashion. It may be a heaven. It may be some other existence. I'm not 100% sure, but I think something happens. But I have to say, is that just me trying to tell myself a happy story? I'm open-minded enough to ask myself that question. Am I just trying to convince myself that I'm so important to the universe that it can't exist without me? You see what I'm saying? Because we're all clouded by that. We like to think, you know, yeah, things happened before we were around, but I'd like to think, you know, once I'm here, you know, I'm here or I'm somewhere.
Maybe you'll go to another planet.
Maybe. Beam me up, Scotty.
Well, I am, and I wish I could hear you say the same thing. I have to be honest, Jim. I've been listening to your show for a good long time, and you're a major influence as to why I even do any of the stuff that I do. Yes. I enjoy your show, and I you know, there are some topics that are boring, but there are many more that are not. And I find it fascinating that all of these people have some information to share. And for me, I am highly frustrated that so many ghost hunters and paranormal researchers are doing what they do for longer than what you've been doing your show, looking for answers. And they have no answers. And they're constantly asking for a fee and all of this other stuff and all this fame and fortune and whatever it is that they're asking for. And I'm finding it to be somewhat frustrating. I don't know. Mm-hmm. On many levels, to be honest with you, as somebody like myself and you as well, it's like, what are we really doing here? Are we really just playing off of each other? You know, I don't want to interview any more ghost hunters because it seems to go in that same vicious circle and not really go anywhere. That's got to frustrate you. And I constantly, and I think SE has the same question too. Doesn't that get to you? I mean, after 6-7 years of this, I mean, you do interview a lot of folks that are not just ghost hunters, but you do some that do.
Right.
Doesn't it get to you at a point where, like, come on, this is like rhetoric, you know?
No, I understand what you're saying, and I think sometimes there can be a certain amount of that. I mean, to me, it goes, speaks to, and you know, I've had guests on who I thought, boy, and I always try to be respectful of my guests. I'm not going to, I may ask a question. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll say, well, let me play devil's advocate, and then I'll ask a question. But I always want to be respectful. I mean, because the idea is to get the information out to people and let them decide.
Yeah.
Right.
But what you're saying is, I think it depends. If I think the person is sincere in their interest and sincere in their search, I mean, again, we're talking about, okay, 7 years I've been doing this, which in a way I consider is a long time. But if you look at somebody like Brad Steiger, he's been doing it for 60 years. And if you look at mankind, has been trying to answer this question for thousands of years.
What has Brad Steiger been doing for 60 years?
Writing books.
Okay, but I could write a book I could write books for 60 years too if I chose. But I'm just saying, what are we reading?
I think we're reading experiences, and I personally think there's a value to that. I mean, it depends if you're interested in the subject matter. I'm fascinated by it, and the truth is, and I did worry about this quite honestly. Would I be burnt out on this after? And the truth is, I'm not. The only problem I have is being physically tired.
Do you think the public's going to be burned out on it? You know how television shows only last, you know, the long ones, 5 years maybe.
Look, this stuff has gone back. I mean, you can look back to Lilydale and even before that. There is a certain amount of the population, we're probably examples of people who would have been interested in this stuff, whether or not there was a big fad in the last 5 years. I think the people who are genuinely interested, and I think those people will stick. I think people that are just in it because they maybe want to put on a paranormal investigation t-shirt and go out and investigate. And I'm not saying everybody does that is in that category, but there's a certain amount of people who do it because it's the cool thing to do. Yeah. You know, if they'd been around in the 70s, they would have been doing disco. You know, whatever the fad is.
Hey, I resemble that.
So my point is that there's a certain amount. Yeah, I think those people will drop off. The people who it's the flavor of the month. Oh, this is a cool thing to do. Run around with cameras with night vision and scare ourselves. And I think there's a percentage of the population that does that. But I think there's a percentage of the population. And it's fascinating how many people I talk to in this area, and I take them at their word because I had the same experience, have been interested in this since they were small kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think those people are going to go away. No. It may not be, there might not be 27 cable shows dedicated to it. It might only be three, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I think there'll be interest in this area as long as people are alive and don't know the answers. And I don't think we're going to know all the answers.
I think, and
I understand your frustration.
Yeah.
But again, these are quite, I mean, for example, my question, what happens after you die? People have been asking that question as long as there've been people. To think that in 7 years I can get an answer to that, or even 30 years, maybe somebody out there's got the answer, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to come up with it. But it is interesting to talk about different theories.
Yeah, I think there's a different class of personalities, I guess, that are interested in this. For me, I'm so mechanical about things that I need an answer, or I'm going to move on. You know what I mean?
And no, I understand what you're saying.
That's
yeah.
probably where I'm at right now. You know, I'm just so fed up with the rhetoric, and I just wish that there were not just with what's exposed to me, but what I see other folks, you know, are exposed to. You know, I can just as my own experiences that I've had, they were fascinating and mind blowing at the time, and changed my life. You know, and in fact, even today, I've reacted according to those experiences, but I've lost interest because there hasn't been anything sufficient, and nobody else has experienced the same exact things. Nobody has proven to me what it's all about, you know. So I get to that point where, well, there's no answer. I got to move on, look at something different because I'm just losing it, you know.
Right. No, I respect how you feel, and I hear what you say. We just look at it a little differently. That's all.
Sure.
Okay, we're gonna take a. Guess about a 4-minute break, and we'll be back with Jim Harold.
Tenacity Radio, your source for eclectic talk and music. Can't make it to a show? Check out the archives at tenacityradio.com or listen to them right on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Palm Pre, or Android. Go to tenacityradio.com for all of the details, show schedules, and more. Tenacity Radio, real entertainment, no excuses.
Than the sun, and the bonnie boat was one as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mist. take. And where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear it, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul. Just like way back in the days of old. Yeah, magnificently we will fold into the mystic. That foghorn blows, you know I will be coming home. Yeah, when that foghorn whistle blows, I gotta hear it. I don't have to fear it, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the day. Together we will fold into the mystic.
Okay, we're back with paranormal talk show host and author Jim Harold. We had a question in the chat room right before break. Robbie, did you write that question down?
No, but I can scroll up and ask Peter in the chat room. Oh, I just gave up his name. Now he's going to get beat up as he leaves. let's see here. Jim, have you met? He just scrolled the chat room for me. Have you met anyone with a supernatural gift? Like psychic mediums, empaths, and so forth?
Well, it depends on what you mean by meet. I mean, for the most part, the people I've, quote, met in the paranormal have all been like we're talking right now. And one of the people who impressed me was a psychic by the name of Carol Obley. And the reason she impressed me was a specific thing she did with my wife. Now, she as an example, I brought my wife on the show, which I very rarely do. And my wife's like, you never want. And it's like, this is not family hours. This is a program. But I did bring her on because I wanted to have somebody who I knew get a reading and just see how it went. And she did a brief reading on air. Carol didn't know anything about my wife. And would have no way to know anything, or, you know, there was no way for her to fake it. And I was extremely impressed, because what came across is that she said, you know, somebody very young is coming to me. His name is Bob, and he's very young. He died very young, and he wants to, and I forget what it was, but he wants to get this message to you. And my wife's jaw dropped, because one of her best friends, probably her best friend in high school in terms of like male friend, was a guy by the name of Bob, who ended up killing himself. And she had no way of knowing that. And she's been a regular guest on my show. And, you know, again, how do you know that? I mean, how do you know that? Mm-hmm. And again, Robert or Bob could be a common name, but come on. I mean, it wasn't Bill, it wasn't Steve, it wasn't Jim, it wasn't, you know, it was
what
just...
What was her name, Carol Lobley?
Carol Obley. And in fact, I was so impressed by her, and I know we were going to talk about this in a little bit. My Paranormal Plus Club is basically where you can sign up to get more of my podcasts, ones that you can't get if you're on the free side.
Let's elaborate on that. Go ahead.
So in addition, I've just recently rolled out paranormal courses, and the first one I did, and they're not for credit or anything like that, but they're more like informational presentations where the audience can ask questions and we show slides on the screen. And we are just completing, we did a 3-hour session. We've done 2 hours of them. They're archived over at jimherold.net. That's the Plus Club. And the third one is coming up next month. And I was very impressed with her, so I asked her to do a course for us, and that's gone quite well. So, the Plus Club is basically, just to set the stage, I have something like over 400 free shows over at jimherold.com. So if you've never heard of me, you don't have any idea who I am, you want to find out why I'm, see if you like what I do, that's a first stop. Go over there and listen to some of those. If somehow something happens, you say, I can't get enough of this stuff, and I want more, I produce 4 other series on the Plus side where you have a membership. And then in addition, there are forums for only the Plus Club members. There's a newsletter that comes out. There's webinars where I do like a little discussion with the audience, and they ask me my questions and so forth.
Is this video?
The courses are actually a GoToMeeting, so you actually see slides on the screen.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's something we've added. And after that, we're going to be doing, and I love this, we're going to be doing, after Carol's course is done in April, in May, and we don't have the dates down yet, with Teresa Argy, the quote, the haunted housewife. She's been on, I believe, Paranormal Challenge. She is going to be doing a ghost hunting class. So what I was saying before is I really tried to seek out someone I thought was serious about it, because I don't poo-poo all ghost hunters. I do have a problem with some of the TV shows, but I think there's some validity to it, and I think it's something people are interested in. So the idea of this would be, you know, somebody that's really serious about it, talking to people about it and how to do it. And one thing I love that she said about ghost hunting, she said, first thing you should do is not go out and buy a fancy camera. Go back and read books from years ago about people who did real research on this, and kind of educate yourself before you even get into this. And I love that approach. So I try to pick and choose the people I use for those kind of programs.
It's interesting. What kind of, you had to have gained some knowledge over these past 7 years.
Oh, you overestimate me. No, go ahead.
What have you reaped from all of this, as far as, let's just suppose ghosts. What do you think you've learned about ghosts?
Well, the one thing I can say, I can't say what they are, but I can say I think there's something real going on. Now, what I've learned is, for example, poltergeist. I'll give you an example of something I've learned. Let's take the subject of poltergeist. Before, I would have totally thought that that was some kind of spirit, some kind of evil spirit. Something I've learned about that is that very well could be, you know, psychic projection of somebody, particularly the fact that poltergeists tend to happen in houses or in dwellings where adolescents live. So it might be something emotionally going on with them that are, through some mechanism we don't understand, causing things to move. I had no idea of that.
Isn't that what happened in the actual movie? It was based on that teenager, right?
But not that it's an evil spirit, but that it's some kind of, I don't know if it's angst or whatever. It was interesting. I interviewed a Pulitzer Prize nominated journalist, Michael Clarkson, about this maybe a year and a half ago. He's from Canada. Very straight down the line journalist, not at all kind of woo-boo, as it were. And I got to tell you, very impressive. He totally believes in the phenomena and totally believes it's something like that. So
why did he have his own personal experience? And even if he did, it doesn't mean he wasn't hallucinating. That's the problem with all of this, you know?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't based on his experiences. It was based on his research. And I kind of like that.
Has he had his own?
Not that I recall. But I got to tell you, sometimes I think, you know, that's why, for example, I don't go on ghost hunts. I might like to do that sometime.
I was going
to
ask you that.
Yeah. But see, I'm mind reading right now. No,
you're a closet psychic.
Yes. But anyhow, my point is that I think, now you may disagree with me, I think it's valuable to have somebody who is interested in, devoted to, and interested in something, but who serves as a communicator. You don't necessarily have to go on a you don't have to be basically doing the investigation to bring a service. I'll give an example. We talked about Brad Steiger before, who I must say is one of the nicest men I've ever had the
I've actually spoken to him personally on Jeff Rentz.
Yeah, he's a very nice man, and I just love to talk to him. I would say he's done a great service because he's brought out information that would have never come out. He's done that for 60 years. And I think there's a service to that. So I think for somebody to be in, quote, the paranormal field, there are different functions, right? Some people are investigators. Some people are authors. Some people interview people. And I think we can all bring something to it. Robbie, I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't think I'm ever going to give you a clear-cut answer on what's going on. I don't think we're going to have it. Now, the exception to that is maybe something like the UFO phenomena. Let's say the UFO phenomena is not spiritual, but it's something more physical. It's actually ET or something. Could there be disclosure? Possibly. Although I doubt that our government, if they know something, they're ever going to tell us. But maybe that'll happen someday. That, I think, could be more likely to happen. But in these big questions, you know, what happens after we die, those kind of things, I think those are much harder. And again, questions people have been asking for thousands of years, not just a decade.
Who was the person that you interviewed about that question? What happens after we die?
Oh, I've PMH Atwater. I've talked to her. I just did one about.
She's amazing.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. Really,
and then that's been the thing is, you know, when it's a good interview, when it was like 3 or 4 years ago, and that person comes off the top of your head, and I see right here her. You know, I get a lot of paranormal books, and some of them I give away as premiums, or, you know, thank people for listening and things. And there's certain ones I keep for myself, and hers is right there. You know, other people.
I don't even know who she is. What is her title?
Near Death Experience.
Yeah, Near Death Experience. She does a great job. And I just did, I'll just look it up here. I'm blanking on her name. I just did a fascinating show for my Plus Club with, right here it is, Carla Willis Brandon. On near-death experience. She's been on Coast to Coast. She's been on a lot of shows, and she's written books about deathbed visions. I thought that was a fascinating.
Okay, so this is actually a great segue into Michael Shermer. He is a hardcore skeptic, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Who I've interviewed, by the way.
That's why I'm bringing him up. Yeah, I have not interviewed him. I'm interested in what he had to say about near-death experiences.
Well, two things I'll say. First of all, I really liked Michael Shermer, personally. I wish, although he might have been a little nicer to me because he knew that I'm somewhat of a believer.
Well, I interviewed Thomas Fusco, who is into paranormal mechanics, and he and other people have said that, yes, he can be a little... I can't think of the right word right now, so I won't say anything, but go ahead.
But he was very nice to me. I mean, but
my point... I'm not saying that he's not nice. Right. Interesting is probably a good word. He's a skeptic, so there
He totally believes he's right and that we're all wrong. as kind of, we probably think we're right and he's totally wrong, but about him and about near-death experience, I don't remember specifically what he said, but what I could guess he probably said, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the general skeptic perception of near-death experiences is the idea that there's it's the defense of a dying brain, and it's oxygen deprivation, and people are seeing things, yes, because their brains are being deprived of oxygen. And, you know, there have been studies done where test subjects and they saw things that they couldn't possibly see due to oxygen deprivation. So I think it's going to be one of those things, to Robbie's point, you know, the skeptics are going to say oxygen deprivation. The believers are going to say, no, 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 it's proof of an afterlife. And we're all going to find out probably when we
when we die.
That's why I asked that question earlier. But on Shermer, my problem with him was this. And again, I wish we could have more discussions with skeptics.
Did you say this was a friendly? I know, all of them are friendly, but this was maybe a more difficult interview, or no?
I thought it was difficult in the sense I wanted to make sure I was on my P's and Q's, that I didn't give him an opening. No, I enjoyed talking to him. I'd talk to him again in a minute. I really enjoy it. In fact, I love talking to skeptics, if they're reasonable skeptics. If it's one where it's going to degrade into a mutual yelling match, I have no
idea. Yeah, he'll prey on that. He's waiting for that moment where it's like, wait a minute, you're wrong. Ghosts totally exist. There's one right there next to you. That's what he wants to hear, so he can say, well, wait a minute, have you seen a psychiatrist lately? You know, this
right.
kind of thing.
But the thing that he said, I said, what about this, Michael? What about this, Dr. Shermer? You know, let's say you're right. And here's my, by the way, guys, here's my general theory.
You said this to Michael Shermer?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to hear this.
Yeah. And by the way, you can go back. I'll find out which episode.
Yeah. Which, yeah, please.
My belief is that the vast majority of things that people say are paranormal are totally explicable. Let's say 95%. But the thing is that let's think about this. If you have millions of reported cases of the paranormal, and let's even say 98% are false, but 2% cannot be explained away by science or by hallucination or whatever it might be, what's wrong with saying, let's really look at that 2%? And he said something to the effect, and again, it's been probably a year since I interviewed him, so I don't want to put words in his mouth he didn't say. But the sense was, well, we understand there's certain things we can't explain. We're okay. We can just put those on the shelf. Do you remember that, Robbie?
Rob, we were laughing. What did he say exactly?
He said that, we realize that there's a certain amount of things like that, and we just put them on the shelf. And I'm like, no, take them off the shelf. And I don't know if I told him
awesome.
That. But so... The thing was is that obviously we agreed to disagree and we had a good discussion. But I got to say, in fact, I can.
You have to find it.
I did find it. The Believing Brain with Dr. Michael Shermer, that's based on the book of his own title back last July. Paranormal Podcast 200.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a year. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Okay, it was on the Paranormal Podcast 200 and your guest was Dr. Michael Shermer.
Correct.
And what kind of do you say he's that? The ultimate hardcore skeptic, or is there someone?
No, I think Randy is probably ultimately.
James Randy.
Yeah, okay. He'll carry a whip.
Yeah, I don't think I could have a discussion with Randy because I think he's just the kind who will say, "Well, you're a fool for believing this, and it's a bunch of bunk, and you're a charlatan." And you know, I'm not really interested in that. But if somebody's, and you know what? Dr. Shermer has a right to his opinion. That's what I love about living in a free society, or hopefully.
Certainly, and we need that. Well, that's why,
you know, Robbie, a dialogue isn't about having an answer. It's about sharing ideas and theories,
right.
You know?
Thank you.
But I guess what I was trying to say earlier that I'm getting a little tired of it is because when I'm asking direct questions to people, I'm not even getting answers. I'm getting like what I call the Bill Clinton. Well, they answer something that I didn't even ask.
The Bill Clinton. That's great.
I feel your pain.
That was good.
It depends on what is.
That's right.
You know, I have to say, Jim, the definition or the explanation you just gave about the 1%, I've used that myself.
2%,
I think that's
actually.
Well, the 1% that could be viable. I mean, that is a good perspective.
That's
and
awesome.
I've used that myself, actually. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, the most of this is and I think, you know, the thing is that, and we've all got to be careful about this, as we're all so enthusiastic about this field and we're into it. You know, maybe that log truck experience, you know, I'm thinking it was a guardian angel. Maybe it was just me telling myself after the fact that I had that thought, and I don't realize it now. The way I interpreted it was something else. But that doesn't mean that everybody that has a log truck incident is wrong. And if there are people, and particularly now with all the, and I know we're drawn to a close here, but even if 98% of the UFO videos on YouTube are faked, which by the way, are, that is a pet peeve of mine. I think that,
I don't even watch them anymore.
Well, it's really disturbing because, you know, again, there could be something interesting and valuable in there, but there's so much junk. So my point is that it's like just because 99 of them are fake doesn't mean the 100th one isn't real.
Right, and that's a huge amount as well.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount because there are a lot of people with claims and accusations and experiences and true serious beliefs.
And again, you know, in the UFO field, Essie, I know you said that's important to you. I look at a book. I don't know. Have you interviewed or gotten to read Leslie Kane's book?
I have not. I had her.
Really?
Oh, Robbie, you interviewed her?
Yeah, I talked to her.
Yeah.
That's a great book.
That's a great book. It's a great book because she's talking about, and again, different people have different feelings. I actually, you know, I have admiration for military, police people, those kind of people. And she's talking to pilots and generals and people who have actually experienced these things, and they're pilots, so they know what a fixed wing aircraft looks like. And they said, no, that was like nothing I've ever seen. Why can't we take those kind of things seriously? You know,
why did I think pilots were not allowed to disclose anything? Why did I think that? I thought they had to sign. It's not that they're not allowed to.
They're just afraid to because they'll lose their jobs, you know?
Well, actually, I have a story about that.
Do we?
A quick story. I had a professor in college.
It's okay.
Yeah, I had a professor in college who told us a story. Well, anyway, no, I'll do it the other way around. I was interviewing Robert Hastings, who did the big National Press Club press conference a couple of years ago with all the different military guys who had seen UFOs and stuff. It was on CNN and everything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was interviewing one day, and he was talking about this one young officer who had been a film officer for the Air Force, I believe in the early 60s, and told a story where he had actually filmed. They were doing a test missile shot. Something came into the frame and basically blew up the missile. Something went around it and shot something into it and blew it up. And when he developed the film, he told his superiors, and they basically told him, you'll never speak of this again. This never happened, blah, blah, blah. Well, funny thing was, I didn't say anything during the show. After the show, I said, would that be Dr. Robert Jacobs? And he said, yeah. And I said, I know him. And he said, how? I said, he was a professor of mine 20 years ago, and he told us that very story.
That's crazy. Yeah, but what is the big threat? Is that like what they say to scientists that discover a cure for cancer?
Well, think about it.
Is that the big threat?
I don't know what the threat was in this case, so I don't want to speak for Dr. Jacobs. He was ordered not to. I think you have to think about it a couple different ways. Let's say a soldier. If you're a soldier and you're told not to leak something, you know, there's issues of national security. There's issues of an oath. You know, they take oaths to secrecy and so forth. So that's part of it psychologically. And then the rest is left up to their imagination what could happen if they say something. And I don't think he said something for a long, long time. So it works to an extent.
Well, before we go, I wanted to know what your other passion is. If you weren't interviewing people about the paranormal, who would you be interviewing on? What topic?
Well, funny you should ask that. There are two shows that I do that are not paranormal based, which are included in those eight. One I do for fun. It's called Weird News Radio. It's totally free. It's at weirdnewsradio.com. And I do it actually with Kate Botello, who used to be on the Screensavers with Leo Laporte. if you remember Kate. And it's basically silly stories. You know, crazy stories in the news. So I just think that's kind of fun.
Well, give me an example of the craziest story.
Oh my goodness. You know, someone who, let's see, I'm trying to think of one now. You got me stumped.
I just heard the cannon one. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, we actually did that one. The guy who basically was playing with a cannon and killed his girlfriend. That was one we actually did.
It's a true story, correct?
I thought they were married.
Yeah, it's a true story. Yeah. It happened in San Diego, I think.
Weren't they married?
Yeah. No, it was a girlfriend or something. So it's, you know, it was crazy. So those are the kind of stories that we do. And we also do like celebrity train wrecks. So we do a little story this week. Marie Osmond had an accident on stage, literally.
Oh. Don't say really? That. I had a crush on her when I was a kid.
Me too. Step up to the mic. But anyway, yeah. And then we did, what else we did? We did a story about a woman who had a thermometer in her lung for 44 years.
Oh, wow.
So we do weird stories like that. That's at weirdnewsradio.com. Check it out.
That's
it's good
fun.
For that.
Do you and sit then, there cracking up or
yes,
what?
It's the most fun I have all week because it's basically talking. First of all, I'm thrilled to be able to do this with Kate. If anybody's
how'd you hook
a techno
up with her?
Geek out there, you'll remember Kate Patello from The Screensaver. She did a national TV show with Leo Laporte, who also my fellow geeks will recognize.
Okay.
And to do a show with her is a privilege.
And where can they find that?
Weirdnewsradio.com.
Okay.
And then the other thing I do for my Plus Club that I love is a true crime show. So I've done shows on Jack the Ripper. I did a show with a guy who spent 30 or 40 hours interviewing Ted Bundy, the serial killer.
Ooh, that's cool.
I did a show with somebody that spent time with Manson and got to exclusively interview Manson and spend some time with him. So I really enjoy that, too. And that's called Jim Harold's Crime Scene, and that's over on my Plus Club. And so just real quick, Weird News Radio is weirdnewsradio.com. The free show's paranormal, jimharold.com. The Plus Club, if you like the other things I do, jimharold.net.
Okay,
gotta
great.
Check them out. They're very cool shows.
Well, thank you, Robbie, and thank you, Essie.
All right, Jim, I can't thank you enough, actually. You were a true pleasure, so thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you. I've had a lot of fun. I hope we'll get to chat again in the future.
Me too. All right, you take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, that was really fun, and he's great, don't you think, Robbie?
Yes, I do. He's always
that
great.
That was awesome. All right, listen, we're running out of time, so stay tuned for SF Talk Radio here on Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses. Enjoy your evening.
This is Gut Wrench. I'm here to tell you about a brand new show I'm hosting on Friday nights at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Tenacity Radio Network. Every Friday night, right after Mozo, you tune in at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Gut Wrench Unplugged, Unsigned. I'll share with you musicians, artists, and their music, as well as their craft, and we'll try to get them a little bit of recognition. Feel free to email me at robbywrench@gmail.com. That's R-O-B-B-Y, wrench, like a tool, @gmail.com. And let's see what we can do to help you out. Every Friday evening at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here on tenacityradio.com. Real entertainment. No excuses. We'll be right back.